Yeah. Extra piece of paper, right? Okay, so some from people don't celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day, and I think that our time to celebrate Father's and Mother's Day is really at the Seder, because that's when parents are fulfilling one of their main functions. Today we forget in society that the job of being a parent is to teach your children, v'shinantam levanecha, because we've outsourced teaching to Rebbeim, because it's not that practical, we have business making a living. But historically, there were places where parents, as they were making a living, were able to actually fulfill v'shinantam levanecha. There's an English sociologist that describes his experiences in Yemen. He comes into the Jewish smithy shop, and there's a father and his sons, smithy, like a blacksmith. You know, they were metal workers. He goes to a metalworking shop, and the father is producing metal jewelry and swords, and as he's banging on the swords, his kids are also banging, and the father's telling them Mishnayos, and they're repeating Mishnayos after him. So that was a picture of Vishinantu Vanecha. You can imagine if we were farmers, I'm plowing the field, and I have my kids with me, and now plowing the field is not an intellectually stimulating job, so I have my kids, and I'm telling them a Ramban while I'm plowing the field. That was the original plan. Just today, it's not shaykh, you're going to work in the office, and the kids are not with you, so we hire Rebbeim. We have to understand this is only plan B. Vishinantu Vanecha was plan A. So when do we as parents really become parents? The night at the Seder, we have a chance to teach our kids. Avi Shulman says over a Maisa that somebody called him up and he said he doesn't really have a bond enough with his son. So Avi said to him, he said, well, do you have a Seder? Do you learn with him something? Chumash, Mishnah, is anything? So the father asked him, he said, but isn't that using Torah as a means? Like, isn't that Zloli Shema? So Avi said, you don't understand. That's what being a father is. If you don't have a bond, you're missing something. The etzem thing of being a father is to be able to teach. So that tonight, the Seder, we actually are going back to where we're supposed to be. Fathers are supposed to be teaching their children, giving over the Mesorah. Now, Rav Reuven Feinstein said this, so it's not coming from me, but he complained that the yeshivas are off the mark in sending home the kids with these big binders of all the Divrei Torah and the Haggadah, because it comes out that the night of Pesach, the children want to show the parents what they know. And that might be good for the day, but he said, night, that's a mistake. He said, instead, what the yeshiva should be doing is telling the kids, the night of the Seder, you're there to listen to your parents, and if the yeshiva feels that the parents don't know what to teach their kids, the yeshiva should fax all that information to the parents. And he said, that's not a small thing, because he feels that today American yeshiva bachrim, many of them might know a lot, but they don't have roots, because they don't stay with the Rebbe many years. Mountaindale's an exception. But in most yeshivas, boys have a Rebbe every different year. So they never necessarily get a root relationship with a Rebbe. And they don't have anything from their parents, ruchniyistik, or their father never taught them. So basically, Torah is like a subject. But they don't see like a Messiah, like I have a Tati that gave me Torah. I have a Rebbe that gave me Torah. So he said today, American yeshiva bachrim, a bachrim without any real deep roots. So that's the job at the Seder, is that we're supposed to be teaching our kids and giving over a Messiah. Okay, so that's the job. Now, the problem is, Pesach is the same Haggadah every year. So people think, been there, done that. So not only is it hard to get the kids interested in listening to us, but it's even hard for us. That's why many people buy a new Haggadah every year. Because they feel, I'll see some new Pshatim. But the actual experience, been there, done that. So I want to suggest we make a big mistake. It says in the Haggadah, a person has to see himself as if he actually left. Does anybody fulfill that? Very few people. So instead of saying that we've been there, done that, we've never been there one time. So it's not pshat that, you know, it's the same old. We haven't done it once yet. It's like somebody comes for a raise for his boss, says, you know, I've been here 20 years, I have 20 years experience. So the boss says, no, you have 1 year experience 20 times over. It's never got any better. So this is really a challenge. What does it mean, been there, done that? I've been there. So there was an article in the Orlando Sentinel many years ago about an Indian storytelling contest where they would have American Indians, and each Indian would be standing under a tree, and you would attract a group of children. He'd tell over the stories, and the fellow that got the biggest crowd of children, he wins the contest. So it mentions there that after this Indian told the story, one of the kids went over to him and said, "Mister, could you tell the story again?" So the mother said, "Why do you want to bother me? You already heard it." And the kid's words were gewaltig. He said, "Because I want to go there again." And when I read that, I said, that is the tachas of a seder. A child, when he hears a story, because his imagination is still fresh, he pictures himself going through the experience. So when he hears a story, he says, "I want to hear it again because I want to go there again." He pictures himself in the story. And that's what we're missing. We as adults, we get older, we get more realistic, and therefore we don't picture ourselves in new circumstances. So I would like to suggest that as Seder, a person has to think about creating in his mind a home video about what it would look like if I was leaving Egypt. Now, I can imagine, since I'm a person who's very conservative, I don't like take chances and invest in the stock market. So I'm at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we've already seen these makos, and it's really very impressive. But now Moshe Rabbeinu wants us to go to the desert. So I'm speaking to my wife and say, "Okay, we're going to go into a desert. There's no food there. There's no water there. And we're going to take a little sack of bread. How long is that going to last?" This is quite frightening. Do I trust God after seeing the 10 makos enough that I'm going to leave Egypt as bad as this? There's the Nile that gives water. Usually it's not blood, it's water. I have a Nile for food. I have a Nile for water, rather. We are getting fed. This isn't the concentration camp. We survived 83 years in Avdus. So it's not a great life, but you know, it might beat being in the desert and, you know, and dying and having my bones blanch in the sun. These were real people. This was a big Nisayon. And we have to picture ourselves weighing whether we're going to go or not. And the beauty of the Jewish people at that point is that a big percentage of them, maybe not all of them, or maybe even 20% of a big crowd, but they decide that they're going to go into the desert with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was a tremendous decision. We have to understand this was hard. They had to look at the makos and say, it's true that, you know, there's no food or drink there, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did these 10 makos. I see them. And I'm confident that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me in the future, even though some investments will say past performance is not a promise of future profit. So I have to worry, past performance, okay, 10 makos, but how do I know it's going to happen in the future? And if I want to be firm, Yaakov Avinu was also afraid, Shema Garam Hachet. I have promises, but am I going to be confident to the future? And yet, a good portion of Klal Yisrael goes into the desert. And this was such an accomplishment that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, fast forward 850 years. So he's told that there's a Chorban coming, and he was created to try to get the Jews to do tshuva. And when you look at Perek Beis and Yirmiyahu, we have the first appearance of Yirmiyahu in the streets of Jerusalem. So I would think, if it was me, and I was told, you know, Sapristan, you better start tshuva movement, I'd start jumping up and down, Rishayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy us unless we do tshuva. But what's his first speech? Kormar Hashem, Zacharti l'cha chesed norayach, avas kulosayach, lechtech acharai bamidbar be'eretz lo zarua. The first thing Yirmiyahu HaNavi tells Klal Yisrael is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you and he still remembers how wonderful you used to be, that you were willing to go into the desert even though there was no food supply. And that emuna that we had to follow the HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the desert, that was so beautiful. It's like a chosn thinks of his kala the night that they got married and says, she's going to follow me into the great unknown. We're going to go together. My kala has faith in me that I'm going to take care of and everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that feeling about us 850 years ago. Look at Rashi in Yirmiyahu. So he says, Mal chesed nurayach, lech tach acharei shluchai Moshe v'Aaron. You're willing to follow my agents, Moshe v'Aaron. Me'eretz no shavas. You left from a settled land. It's true, Egypt was not great. We were slaves there. But it was still a place that was settled. The Ain, and you're going to Midbar, Ain Seder Laderach, and there's no food there. Ki Haman Tambi, because you had the Amunah. That Amunah that we had to follow Kosh Baruch Hu out into the desert, this is something that Kosh Baruch Hu remembers centuries and centuries later. So this, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a picture of us leaving Mitzrayim, so there's an inyan of Ma'awafata. We have to have a picture of that also. And that's something that we don't work on, we don't train our children to have like a portfolio of pictures and videos in our minds. Like normally, whatever we see, so it goes inside. But does a person take out time to form a picture and meditate on that picture? So what I would suggest at the Seder is that we say, you know, time out. So we heard the story. Now we're going to have a little silent time. Everybody should close their eyes and they should picture themselves watching Dam Sfardeya Kinnim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you got the lessons. Are you willing now to actually act on those lessons or not? And to picture that and create a portfolio in our minds. Where do we see that Chazal are in favor of creating pictures of things we didn't see ourselves and then meditating on us? It's a Sforno in Dvarim. Vaidaber Moshe v'Kohanim el Levim el Kol Yisrael lemor, Haskes u'shma Yisrael, Hayom hazeh niyesem la'am l'Hashem Elokecha. So Moshe and the Kohanim and the Levim, and this is the only case where Moshe together, Kohanim and Levim, are speaking to the rest of the Jewish nation. And what do they say? Haskes u'shma. What does Haskes mean? So you take a look at this Sforno, and he says that as far as the Kohanim and Levim speaking, it's because Mutal ala Kohanim lalame das esa'am. Because the Kohen's job is to be the educator. And tonight, we as parents are all educators. Haskes means Tzayir b'machshav osecha. Create pictures in your mind. And then it says Shema. The Pasuk says Haskes u'shma. So Haskes is create the pictures in your mind. Shema is vizboinen. Meditate on those pictures. So this is an art I don't think is taught in yeshiva. To be able to make pictures and then to say, now concentrate on the pictures. I had an experience which is very hard for me when I visited Duvi Brody, Alav HaShalom, in the hospital. And Imamish was in pain. And he says, Rebbe, give me some chizuk. So what am I going to tell him? His Imamish, he was like a skeleton at that time. And in tremendous pain, he told me he wanted to die. I said, do you still have in your mind pictures that made your life worthwhile, that you can try to escape the pain and picture the good days? And he told me, Rebbe, it's been so long since I had a good day, I don't have the pictures anymore. And that was pretty bad, pretty bad. Rabbi Twersky, the one who writes all those books, so he worked in the hospital in medicine for a while, then he went into the Gateway's rehabilitation. He mentions that he used to use hypnosis in the hospital to be able to deaden the pain of people. He was a hypnotist even in the medical school. And he was called in. Sometimes you had a cancer patient that was, was in pain, but the amount of drugs necessary to give them anesthesia, to deaden the pain, would make their minds not working. And some people say, you know what? I'd rather have the pain. I don't want to be like deadened. So they would call him in sometimes. They should hypnotize the cancer patients in order to deaden their pain. So they wheeled in a lady who was suffering from advanced cancer. And he tried to hypnotize her. And he didn't think it worked. And he's very surprised. A week later, he gets a call from the husband. He says, Rabbi, or doctor, I know they called him, you've done so much for my wife. She's eating now. She had stopped eating. Now she's eating. She has enthusiasm for whatever life she has left. So he went back to see her. He said, you know, I didn't think that I was really successful in deadening your pain. And she said, you're right, you didn't deaden the pain. But in the hypnosis, you tried to guide me to review the pictures of my life that made me feel good. And even if the hypnosis didn't take, just that idea, that every once in a while I can go into my mind and relive the pictures made me want to eat again and made me want to live again. And that's what I tried to do with Duvi. He told me he didn't have any pictures left. And I think it's very important for children to be taught, and not children, for ourselves, that there's a time to create our own home videos in their minds. Rav Friend at the Siyum HaShas, when he got up, he said so beautifully, he said, look around at all the people here gathered to cover that Torah, and take it in, drink it in. That's what he's asking us to do. Saying, you know, we see things, but you know, you can just see, and then sometimes you're like, you look around and say, I'm going to focus my mind on it. I'm going to file away the pictures in it. And I can go back to that. I can still see the people standing in the stadium, all those people for seeing Hashem. It's a great memory. And that's, I think, the ignored part of what we can do for our children for Pesach that is not being taught. Like, I could tell you some interesting pshatim. So your kids will say, yeah, I got from my Rebbeim also interesting pshatim. But I think that this is much more fundamental than an individual pshat, is to try to train ourselves and train our children to create pictures and then to meditate on the pictures and to have new kinds of experiences, virtual experiences, that now are going to change the way we are. And the function of Ki'ilu Yotza Misham, that we say Yechayef Yisiyas Mitzrayim, until you feared you left there, it's a difficult thing. But maybe if we make some pictures, we'll experience it for a few fleeting moments. I'll feel, yeah, I was there. I have a feeling for what they were going through. Rav Aaron by Mechitza says something very beautiful. He says the function of Mechitza is that if we try to daven without any diversions, maybe for a few seconds we'll have real kavana. I thought that was interesting. Now, as we understand, on our level, we're not going to daven well for an hour. But if you sit for an hour and you try not to divert your mind, you try to daven, maybe there'll be a little time, they'll be asking you something worthwhile. So a person will say, well, sitting for an hour for 1 minute of flash, yeah, that's the way life is. One summer I was day trading, not with my own money, but somebody, it was before 2000, it was before the tech bubble burst. And there was a Sfardi in my old shul in Wesley. I said, Rabbi, everybody's making money during the summer. If you don't have Wall Street, come in the afternoon day trade. I said, I can't risk that. He says, here's $5,000 to play with. So I go into this place. It's like, you know, there's like hundreds of people by their computers. And you can see people intently looking at the screen for hours without making a move. And then when the charts move in the way that they think is a good time to buy, they push the button, give a yell, ah, oh, I got it. And now they're set for the day. So the 8 hours they looked at the screen, and what did they do? For 1 second when they pushed the button, and they only did one trade in that day, but a lot of them made money. Some lost also. But they made their money in that 1 minute. So say, 1 minute, you sat 8 hours for 1 minute? That's what davening should be. Einachanami, we're now on the level for 8 hours to concentrate. But if I try to do my best, there'll be a few seconds I really connect. So I think it's the same thing with Kilu Yotza Misham. We'll spend hours by the Seder, and if we try to train our minds, maybe we'll have a few seconds that we really think and we really feel, yeah, I'm there. And once a person says, I'm there, it's a whole different experience. It's haskes ushma. Create the picture, meditate on the picture. And I think that that way we have more of a real seder. And I think that this art of creating pictures in our minds consciously and then being able to meditate on the picture and to go deeper, what does the picture mean to me, can be very, very important. Because we can end up at the end of our lives with very little ability to create new experiences. We can always create pictures. So, you know, as halakha-wise, let's say you're, you know, you're a married guy, you're going out with your wife in a restaurant, and you're having a nice evening, you should mention, close your eyes and try to internalize the feelings you have. We're in a nice restaurant, the food is good, you're relaxed. Good things in life, a person has to learn to consciously, deep, you know, to breathe it in and make it part of their minds so that they can go back there. Because that can give a person a tremendous amount of nachas when you have this portfolio that you can revisit and you can picture the good things in your life that happened. So in times that maybe are not so good, you have what to think about. So that's one thought that I wanted to share that I think can make a real significant difference in the Seder, that we parents are going to act as teachers, we're going to train our children in a new skill, in closing one's eyes, creating the pictures, and you can even with your eyes closed say, what do you see? Tell me the picture in your mind, and master this art of creating pictures, and then we live through our lives whenever something good is happening to us, that we when I say good, things that we understand that are good, everything's really good, but things that with our limited minds we can see the goodness in, we should learn to concentrate and to breathe it in. The same way when something happens that we perceive as unfortunate, we master the art of trying to ignore things. I shouldn't be like an empty box that whatever the environment puts in me gets inside. I should choose that when things are unpleasant, I'm going to close off part of my mind that I'm not going to be so affected by it. And when things are good, I should open up so much I should be completely porous, like a kli cheres that's boleya. So I should be boleya all of the environment around me so that now I have a kinyan on it. So that's one point I want to make. And a completely different point is that this time we hear that there are two crises going on. One is the shidduch crisis, and then for some women, preparing for Pesach is also a crisis. It's very unfortunate there are some women who dread Pesach. Like, you know, people come into our perm store, and sometimes the women say, perm is a great yontif, I hate it because it means Pesach is coming. Now, Pesach is man chevuseinu, it's man simchaseinu, and a lot of women, that's a bitter joke because they're not doing it right. I would like to suggest that there's a picture that will answer both the shidduch crisis and the cleaning for Pesach crisis, although they seem completely unrelated. You know, in yeshiva, it's always nice to take two unrelated things, have a kasha, and then come up with one teretz. If you would ask a lady what the most, if there's such a thing as a pleasant experience with Pesach, some of them will say shopping. Shopping for new clothing and new shoes, that's of course one area of Pesach that might be enjoyable. So I think there's some mussar that can be learned from the shopping experience that will take care of these two crises. One of them is, let's say you see some clothing on the rack, right? It looks really nice. You put it on, and it doesn't look good on me. So I put it back. Do you say that dress or those shoes, they're not good dresses or shoes? You say, no, they're very nice, but it just doesn't fit me. There's an idea that there are good things in this world, but they just don't match me. That's very important in Shidduchim. Because what happens is people sometimes have this fear of rejection. They say, if the other person doesn't want to continue to go out with me, it means I'm not good. We have to change that. And we have to understand, two people are going out, they're looking to see, do we match each other? If somebody says that I'm not good enough, they have to understand that doesn't... I shouldn't say not good enough. Somebody says, I don't want to continue. That doesn't mean I'm bad. It means I don't fit them. But there's nothing wrong with me, the fact that they said we don't want to go on. Now, this would make it easier to keep on going because sometimes people have shidduch burnout. They say, no, I've gone out and it hasn't worked out. Okay, that's one thing. Another thing is that we need people making shidduchim. I understand that this shul here, they're paying a shadchan $100,000. 50,000 came from one guy in the shul because they said, you know, the girls are not getting calls. So one person here ended up $50,000, and he's a young fellow. He doesn't even have children in the parasha. And other people contribute, and they hire the shadchan for $100,000. That she should work only on the girls of four shuls. This shul was the majority of the cash, and there are three other shuls. Rabbi Varner's shul gave, I think, 10 to 15,000. Chesky Neiman arranged this. He said, now the girls get plenty of dates, because you have a shadchan that's concentrating, she has a list of, let's say, 30 or 40 girls in the community. That's all she does all day. These 30 or 40 girls need dates, and now they're getting dates. Okay. Now, not every shul has that kind of money to do. What about making shidduchim within the community? I have a shul. There are boys and there are girls in the shul. And they don't want to make shidduchim with each other. Why? In some case, they tell me, what's going to happen if it doesn't work out? How am I going to look at the other people? That's a big problem. Because they're thinking that if it doesn't work out, it means they think something's wrong with my child. So now I'm offended. The right way to look at it is that we're going to go out to see if we match each other. If the shidduch doesn't come to fruition, it's not a rejection, it's not a commentary on the quality. It could be. It's like the nice shirt, the nice suit that didn't fit me. There was a mice in a small town, out-of-town yeshiva. Shidduch was proposed with a bachur, with the daughter of a rebbe in the yeshiva. The parents of the bachur tell the Rosh Yeshiva, he says, you know, it's nice, it's a possibility, but what's going to happen to my son if he doesn't like the, if he says no, how's he going to have a place in the yeshiva? So the Rosh Hashiva told him, I know the Rebbe, and your son can say no to his daughter, and the Rebbe will still love him. And Baruch Hashem, that's the way it's supposed to be. People should not get hung up if the children go out with a shidduch and it doesn't work out. They shouldn't feel that there's an aspect of rejection here. And if we got over that, I think that people would make shidduchim with family that they know, which to me makes the most sense, because when you make a shidduch with somebody, you know, far away, you don't know what they really like. in shuls where people, you know, I have a very friendly shul, people have been together for decades, they know each other. That seems to be the best kind of shidduch. I had a customer in my store, and I see the name is Kaminsky. Kaminsky is Rav Shmuel Birnbaum's son-in-law. So I asked her, are you related to, you know, the one who's married to Rosh Yeshiva's daughter? So he said, that's my husband's father. That's why I'm a Kaminsky. So I said, and who are you? She's Rav Yaakov's great-granddaughter, Shechter. So I said, I remember that your husband's father and your father used to be in RJJ. They used to learn together. I said, yeah, that was why it was such great shidduch. They were best friends, and now our children married. So I said, that's the way to go. But why are people afraid to register shidduchim with friends? Because they're afraid what happens if it doesn't work out. So once we get used to this idea that the fact the shidduch doesn't work out is no criticism of the people, then I think that we can move forward maybe in a small way at least in getting over the shidduch crisis. There's also one little detail that maybe is a chizuk for people going out from Pesach, and that is people that have burnout saying, no, I've been looking, I ain't find anything. So we know the Ramah says that some people put out crumbs when they do bedikas chametz because they don't want it to be a bracha levatola. But the Ramah says it's not necessary. The mitzvah is searching. So it doesn't matter whether you have crumbs or not, whether you find anything. You did a mitzvah. So the same thing when young people are going out, they have to know searching is the mitzvah. So even if it didn't work out, you accomplished something. There's a mitzvah in searching, even if you don't find anything. So that's one thing that I think maybe shopping for Pesach can help us in a small measure take care of. And the other thing is the cleaning overload. So back to the clothing rack. Let's say this lady finds a beautiful dress and she puts it on. It doesn't look good on her. But she said, but it's such a beautiful dress, I want to wear it anyway. So I don't think she's going to be very happy and she won't look pretty good either. Because it's a nice dress, but doesn't match her. But she wants it, right? So when the Torah says by the big day kahuna, it says mido bad. It has to be tailored to the kohen. It has to fit the kohen. So there, either Rav Sternbuch or the Aznaim L'Torah says that this is a mashal for something much bigger than that. And that is when the person takes upon chumras, they have to fit him. Chumras have to be mido bad also. The chumra has to match the person. And he brings a rai from the Gemara in Chulin that talks about the waiting from fleishigs to milchigs. The Gemara tells us that one of them, Aroim, said that me, compared to my father, is like vinegar, the son of wine. My father waited 24 hours after fleishigs, and I waited only 6 hours. So this Rav asked, so if he's complaining, so you wait 24 hours. Like, what's your problem? You complain you're vinegar, the son of wine, so you do it also. So he says, of course, he knows it didn't fit him. Of course he could fit, did it. Do it. But what matches general level in Yiddishkeit? And chumras can't be chav, it's got to be mido ba, it's got to match. The women that dread Pesach, it's usually because they're doing more than is necessary. And you'll tell me there's Yerushalmi, they used to scrape the walls. So there's a question whether that's relevant to us because the time of the Yerushalmi, they actually had food stored in the crevices. But people are doing ridiculous amounts of cleaning. And even if you think it's a chumra because they talk about mamish, making sure the house doesn't have mashu of chametz, but it has to be mido ba. Every parent and every husband should tell the wife what she's looking for. You should check with your own rabbanim, but Lania's diet, outside of the kitchen, you're looking for a piece of chametz that's a gazayas. A gazayas means it would fill a schnapps glass. If it's smaller and it's so clean that you would think that I'd be tempted to eat it, there's a shem yochlano, then there's what to talk about also. Maybe you have to get rid of it. But if you're in the car and the car has crumbs on, you don't have to go with a vacuum cleaner to clean up. Are you going to pick up a crumb from the floor that your feet are on and put it in your mouth? Definitely not. So you can keep the crumbs there. I don't take my car to a $50 cleaning. It's not necessary halakha. You want to do spring cleaning for shavuos. But there's a lot of unnecessary cleaning going on. And again, if you're a big tzaddik and you love it, like I was by Rav Moshe Eisman in Neir Yisrael one time before Pesach, and I saw there was cleaning in his kitchen, and he took apart these cushions. I saw with the screwdriver. He's unscrewing the cushions here to get in between the cushion and the frame. So, okay. So if you're holding by that, and you love Pesach, even if you're doing that, and he didn't ask his wife to do it, fine. But halachically, there's no requirement. The Gemara tells us, Kikur b'shmei kaira, you're sitting down at Pesach after the bittel, and there's a 2-pound Levi's real Jewish rye sitting on top of a crossbeam. So the only reason you have to get rid of it is Shem Yiplo. Let's say you would crazy glue a big chas nechala to a beam there. So al pi halacha, you don't have to do anything. You can sit the sage. You can say, "Well, that's a nice challah. I remember the bar mitzvah. We had that challah there. So now we're going to keep it as a memory of the beautiful bar mitzvah. So I have a 2-pound chas nechala glued onto a beam. I'm allowed to have it there." The Gemara says, "Only problem is Hashem, you'll fall down." So we have to have a picture of what's necessary. And everything above that, I'm not making fun of. But I'm just saying, if it's not necessary, and it's a chumra, you have to know, is the chumra midobad? So I think these are the mussars that we get out of shopping for clothing on Pesach. If it doesn't fit, it's not a taina on the garment. And if a shidduch doesn't fit, it doesn't mean I'm rejecting the person. It means it just doesn't match me. And we also learn from shopping that if a person insists on wearing what doesn't match them, they're not going to be happy in the long run. And if a person takes a chumra that's not midobad, that doesn't match them, they'll also not be happy with Pesach. So we have some practical lessons in preparation for the Chag. We should all be zeichet that the Chag should go. That should be a real Zman Simchaseinu, which should be something the husbands and wives and children all look forward to, because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants out of a Chag. It shouldn't be a time of tension. It shouldn't be a time of stress. We should be zeichet to have a real Chag Simcha.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The shit of crisis is that bad that these shuls, the Monday people and the girls aren't getting calls and they have to.
Yeah, yeah, you can speak to, you know, Cheskin Eman.
He's the tall fellow.
Yeah, so he arranged it. I want my shul to get involved. I don't know if my shul wants to put up $15,000. No, I don't have such rich people.
So what's the shot?
There are a lot of shadchanim, he told me. Because people are going out so much, with so many people, you have to make so many shidduchim until you get paid. It's not possible. He said, a lot of shadchanim working for Meridian. They found out on the phone, instead of making a sheikh, you sell mortgages. They said, these girls are making six figures for the first time in their lives, instead of doing shidduchim.
The reason why the whole parsha I'm unfamiliar with is I got married in my, you know, I was 36, 37. And I met my wife in my own town.
So the truth is, that's how my son, I have 5 children. Yeah. We only had one who made the shidduch. The others made it on their own also. So I'm not, but apparently it's not done like that today.
Some people propose that maybe by chasnas they should sit together or
should
be supervised events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a guy in Lake who comes to Yachar Kali, he's a doctor. And he has, with the scum of Rav David Cohen, he has speakers come. Shabbos, he has like 40 young people, men, young men and young women, and they have lunch together and have a speaker and then they have discussions.
Greatness for everyone.
Of course, to try to help us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do I do with my 42-year-old girl?
Amazing.
I have a sister, 44.
Maybe I'll call you sometime.
I don't have any magical aces.
I know that, but the aces have a promise. She doesn't feel perfect. She cries. My wife cries.
But